Thanks for listening to the RCF podcast. If you're a college student, a faculty member, or you live in the area and appreciate what you hear on this podcast, we invite you to join us for worship each Sunday evening during the semester at the University of Rhode Island. It's from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. in the URI Memorial Union Atrium 1. We'll sing together, pray together, and hear a message from God's Word. So come join us. Be sure to check our social media or website for updates on the schedule. And now, enjoy the podcast.
You're listening to the RCF podcast. And today, Alice is back with me, and we're talking about the dreaded commitment word.
Why is it so dreaded?
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about why we hesitate to commit. But first, let's define our terms. What is commitment?
Well, a very basic definition is being dedicated to something or someone. When we think of commitment, we don't think of casual attachment to someone or to a cause.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite illustrations of this is something I read in a book called Habitudes. And I'm quoting the author here. He said, "I love the story of a kamikaze pilot who flew in World War II for the Japanese Air Force. He was interviewed by a newspaper reporter after returning from his 50th mission. The reporter asked the pilot if he wasn't a contradiction in terms. How could someone be a kamikaze pilot whose mission is to fly into military bases and give up their life in the process and still be alive after 50 missions? Well, it's like this," the pilot responded. "I was very involved, not very committed, but very involved," end quote. And I think this is a really great place to start our conversation because there are a lot of people in this world that are involved in things, but not very committed. We all have that tendency in many different areas of our life to dodge commitment.
Yeah, definitely. So what are some areas in which we should make commitments? A few of the big ones are marriage, school, work, and church. Marriage, I think, is probably one of the biggest commitments a person can make because it's lifelong.
There are some marriages where people aren't very committed.
That is true, but it is supposed to be a commitment. I would say it's also very easy to not be committed to church. I know a lot of people who church hop, or they just try to be involved in several churches.
Yeah, like Tuesday night Bible study at Church A, Wednesday night prayer meeting at Church B, and then Sunday morning at Church C, and then some fun fellowship at Church D.
Right, exactly. So they're not really committed to any of those.
Or you mentioned school. Well, I think of some students who are at the University of Rhode Island, but they never go to class. What does that demonstrate? Well, it demonstrates that you're not very committed to school. You may have committed to come here, but you're not really committed.
Right, because commitment really comes through in our actions. It's not just what we say, it's how we live our lives.
Correct.
So a good place to look, obviously, is Scripture to see what examples of commitment are there.
Jesus is obviously the go-to example. Jesus was committed to his mission. Everything that Jesus did was showing that he came to this earth to give up his life, to die for sinners, so that we can be restored in our relationship with God, to have forgiveness of sin, to have salvation. So everything that Jesus did was pointing toward that. That was his life. You can't look at Jesus's life and say, well, he wasn't very committed to this mission.
No, he was absolutely 100% committed to his mission. We also see a lot of examples in Scripture of people who had faith and were committed to the Lord. And we often see that when they're committed to the Lord, they're also committed to those around them. They're committed to God's people. You see that in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, but you even see that in the New Testament with the church. We have a really good example in Acts 2 where the early church was devoted, or committed, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. They were even taking care of one another, sharing what they had to help each other in the church.
Yeah, that idea of devotion is really important to commitment. It's not just that they were doing these things every now and then, but this characterized their life.
Exactly. Another example from the Old Testament is Daniel. The book of Daniel chapter 1, when the Israelites are first taken captive, the king was going to provide them with all sorts of rich foods. But Daniel and his three friends, they refused to eat those foods that were being provided. Why did they refuse to eat those foods? Because they were committed to the Lord and to the law that he had given them.
Even in the Psalms and the Proverbs, they point us toward commitment. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will act." Or Proverbs 16, verse 3, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." So Scripture points us toward commitment. Even what Jesus said in Luke 9:23, that if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me daily. That in and of itself shows that the Christian life is a life of commitment. We are not just involved in Christianity, we are to be committed. We can't just sit on the fence or be lukewarm about it.
And another example is Paul. He was so committed to preaching the gospel, to starting churches, to the spread of the gospel throughout all the world. He showed us that the Christian life is a commitment not only to start the race, but to finish it well.
Certainly, but Scripture also gives us examples of the opposite. We see those who didn't finish the race well. John chapter 6, verse 66 is one example of this. There were many people who were following Jesus at that time. I think it calls them disciples there. But only a few were committed followers, 12 in fact. Because in John chapter 6, most of those followers departed from Jesus. Jesus started saying hard things, and they were like, "Wait a minute, we don't understand this, we're out." And I think we see this all the time in the church today. We see this all the time in Christianity, that there are many people who profess to follow Jesus, but then when it gets hard, or when they come across a hard teaching in the Bible, they abandon Christ. And so Christianity isn't just something that we dabble in. It's not something that we can just be involved in. We are called to be committed.
I think it's really interesting if you do a word search in your Bible app for the word commit, the vast majority of verses that you're going to come across talk about committing in the sense of committing sin. And actually, that's helpful for us to understand in this context, because when we commit to following our fleshly desires or following the things of the world instead of God, that is sin. We are committing to something other than God.
That is interesting because, like you said before, our actions show what we're really committed to. And so when someone commits a sin, for example, if they commit adultery, then that shows what they're really committed to. They're committed to themselves and to their desires rather than committed to God and His Word. So this is why obedience is so important, because it demonstrates outwardly what is in our heart. It shows that we are committed to God. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments." He's saying, this shows what you're really committed to. And that actually leads into what I wanted to bring up next, which is, how do we measure commitment?
Well, I mean, if our actions show what we're committed to, then I think we can see our commitment in the way we spend our time, not just what we talk about. We always make time for the things that are important to us.
Mm-hmm. Back to the school example. If you are enrolled in college, yet you never go to class, how you're spending your time shows what you're really committed to. And so if you're partying all the time, then maybe you're committed either just to fulfilling those fleshly desires, or maybe committed to a group of friends who you really like to party with. You are more committed to them than you are to your academics. You are more committed to them than you are to your parents, who perhaps are paying for your college or at least expecting you to do well.
Or even to your future career.
Definitely. So the way we spend our time helps us to see our commitment or lack thereof.
Another way to measure our commitment is follow through. Are we doing what we said we would do? And why is follow through important? Well, follow through is showing that we're being a person of our word. Commitment is directly tied to integrity. As James 5:12 says, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no."
That's a really important one. This is where we see a lot of people showing their lack of commitment, because it's really easy to say, "Sure, I'll do that."
And maybe they even start, but they don't follow through. They don't ever finish what they said they would do.
But God says we need to be people of integrity as Christians. Sure, the world is going to commit to all kinds of things and not follow through, but as Christians, we need to represent Christ well. And so if we say we're going to do something, we need to do it. If we can't do it, we need to tell someone, "I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't commit to that." This is where overcommitment comes in. We need to be careful of that. We need to be careful of overcommitting ourselves. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So yeah, follow through is a great way to measure commitment. If we're really committed to something, we're going to follow through with it.
And I think that's tied to people pleasing, to fear of man. You say yes to everything because you don't want to let people down. But if you say yes to everything, you're going to let people down because you can't do everything. And so it's better to evaluate on the front end and determine whether you really can or should commit to something or not before you actually do, so that you can follow through and be that person of integrity.
So time is a great way to measure commitment. Follow through is a great way to measure commitment. What about sacrifice?
If you're willing to give up whatever's necessary, even if it costs you something, that's definitely showing your commitment to that person or to that cause for sure.
Again, the example of Jesus is incredibly important for us here. In Philippians chapter 2, when it talks about the humility of Jesus, it says that he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus showed this perfectly, this example of sacrifice. This is an important aspect of commitment. We are not going to sacrifice our time or our resources for something or someone that we're not really committed to. We'll look for something better to do if it seems costly. Christians, don't forget that Jesus calls us to a life of constant sacrifice, a living sacrifice, as Romans 12:1 calls it.
One other measurement is our consistency. Going back to the school analogy, if you only attend classes sometimes, you're not very committed to your education.
And this ties in with Christianity in the sense of if we're sporadic, we're not really committed. Consider Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. We just quoted that in the previous episode as well. It says, "Do not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." We've got to be consistent if we're committed. And so if we're committed to one another as believers, as Christians, and ultimately committed to God, we need to be consistent in that. Not neglecting gathering together. We don't need to isolate ourselves.
Right, exactly. And that leads to another measurement of commitment, which is perseverance. Perseverance is basically consistency to the end. Persevering when things get difficult shows how dedicated we are and how much we value what we say that we're committed to.
James 1 verse 12 is a great example of this. He says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." So when it gets hard, when that trial comes, are you persevering or are you giving up? If it's something that you're really committed to, you're going to persevere. If you're an NFL football player and you're in pain, but you've got that goal of winning the Super Bowl in view, it doesn't matter how much pain you go through. You're going to persevere. You're going to keep going because of the mission, what you're committed to. You're committed to that team, but you're also committed to winning that Super Bowl. So that's what you're going to strive for. It's the same way with the Christian life. If we keep the goal in mind, we persevere. And if we're really committed to Jesus, we're going to persevere even through trials.
Exactly. One thing to note that's not on this list is commitment is not measured by your feelings. Mm-hmm. You may not feel like doing something, but if you're committed to it, you're going to keep pressing on. You're going to finish it. You're going to persevere. So I think that's really helpful for us to know because most of the time we don't feel like finishing. We don't feel like following through or being consistent. We may not feel like being around our fellow Christians today, but our feelings can be overcome. We can be committed even when our feelings are telling us to quit, to just give up, or to take the easy way out.
So I think this is a good place for us to, before we go any further, just stop and say, we need to examine our own heart and life in light of Scripture and ask, are we committed to Christ as Lord? This commitment is the most important, and this should be demonstrated through continuous, faithful obedience to Him. That's the ultimate question, right? Are we committed to Christ?
Romans 6, 17 and 18 says, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness."
That's good. I think the second thing that we need to ask is, are we committed to helping others? Are we committed to one another, helping each other to know Jesus and to follow Him? This is what the Christian life is about. It's about being committed to God first and foremost, but that commitment also impacts how we relate to one another. Even so, we've got to be careful to not make our ultimate commitment to anything or anyone except God.
One author wrote that we can be committed to holiness and not committed to God. It merely makes us a moral person in the eyes of others. But we can also be committed to one another apart from God, and that just merely makes us a good friend. That's important to recognize and guard against.
Yeah, so in our commitment to one another, we need to make sure that doesn't get out of order.
Correct. So in that sense, for your unbelieving friends, your commitment is to share the gospel with them and to demonstrate through your life as well what the gospel looks like. For your believing friends, your commitment is encouragement. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And so again, we're committing to each other as believers to do that, to keep each other believing, to keep each other following, even in those times when your friends are tempted to not be committed.
A lot of times we see commitment as a negative. Commitment is something that God designed in our life so that we become more Christ-like. We've already said that Jesus was committed. He was ultimately committed to God's mission, but He was committed to helping others follow God as well. We see His complete commitment. So how does commitment benefit us? How does it help to mature us?
Well, when we're committed to God, that teaches us and shows us how to be committed to one another as the body of Christ.
Yeah, sometimes when we talk about our relationship with God, it kind of seems abstract. And this is why God has given us one another. We've got 1 John 4:20 saying, "Hey, look, if you can't love one another, if you can't love somebody who you see every day, then how are you going to love God who you can't see?" So it's the same way with commitment. If we think that we're committed to Christ and we can't see Him, but yet we have no commitment to the body of Christ, to other believers, we're isolated from them, then I think we need to check ourselves, right? And so this commitment to one another stretches us. It even matures us in our relationship with God.
Right. Think of the greatest two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But the second is love your neighbor as yourself. And so our relationship with other people is directly tied to our relationship with God. So I think we need to keep that in mind as well.
There's a little booklet that's titled, "What If I Don't Feel Like Going to Church?" And the author of that booklet writes this. The quote says, "Commitment strengthens us by making us shoulder responsibilities toward other people, especially when we don't feel like it." I thought that was a really good quote to remind us that, yeah, when we're committed to one another, then it kind of forces us, we have to carry one another's burdens, like Galatians chapter 6 says, even when we don't feel like it.
Like the quote says, especially when we don't feel like it. Commitment is hard. We're not discounting that at all. Some commitments are harder than others. I would say the Christian life is a commitment that's hard in that you must give up all of your desires to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us in that, but the commitment is hard.
We should expect that keeping our commitments is sometimes going to make us regret that we ever made those commitments. There's going to be those times when you're thinking, "I wish I'd never done this." This is where the feelings come in, right? There's going to be times when following Christ is tough, and you may think, "I wish I'd never signed up to be a Christian." But you're going to grow through the process, and in the long run, if you're committed to the right thing, ultimately to God, then you're going to be glad that you stuck out your commitment. And I think of this even in terms of here at RCF, that there's probably times where some students are thinking, "Man, I wish I'd never signed up for this. It's tough." They recognize that they could be spending their time in other ways besides memorizing scripture and reading God's word or to be held accountable. You may not feel like it, but when you're committed and you stick it out, you persevere, you're going to be glad in the end.
Absolutely. So as we start to wrap this up, what are some challenges to commitment? Why do we sometimes hesitate to commit?
One of the biggest reasons is we have to say no to other things. When we commit, we are saying no to some things, even good things. So like we said earlier, if we hopped around to a different church or ministry every evening, just doing all the things that we wanted to do, that ends up feeding our flesh, right? We're doing the things that we want, that we think will benefit us. Church B over here might have a great fellowship. They might have a really close community, and I feel like that could be really great for me today. But my church over here, Church A, has a Bible study on the same night or a prayer time on the same night. What am I going to do? Go where I feel like going or go where I am committed? Saying no to even good things, that's a part of commitment.
There's a quote here again from the book Habitudes that you referenced earlier. It says, "Our communities, school campuses, and offices are filled with folks who are involved but not really committed. They want to keep all their options open and often don't make decisions until the last minute because a better opportunity may arise at the 11th hour. In fact, because our world offers us so many options, we tend to not commit ourselves because we don't want to narrow our focus. We want to do it all. The problem is we can't do it all."
That's good. And that's where the overcommitment comes in.
Right. I think even in small things, this shows up. We've known students over the years who are hesitant to commit to whether or not they're coming to an RCF dinner or to a retreat because they're not sure if a better option may open up. But as Christians, we need to be people of integrity. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Demonstrate commitment either way.
Because it shows up in the bigger issues later in life. Being unable to commit to a retreat is one thing. But what about marriage? Marriage is saying, yes, I'm committed to you, to one person, while saying no to everyone else as a potential spouse. So recognize that a lack of commitment in the small areas of your life will eventually show up in other areas. Learn the value of commitment.
Well, we'd like to thank you all for committing to listening to this podcast.
That's a good segue there. Yes, we are out of time, but thank you, Alice, for your insights on commitment. And I hope this episode challenges all of you to be committed, ultimately to God, but also to one another. Thanks, as always, for listening to the RCF Podcast. If you'd like more information on Rhody Christian Fellowship, visit us at rhodyfellowship.com. or on our Instagram page at Rhody Fellowship.